Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the first City of Otavalo Council Workshop of 2018. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation. Asking for God's blessing upon this city and the decisions this council makes tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We move to item 1D is roll call, and we do have one city council member absent. Angel Garza, and he'd asked to be excused. He's out of town. We'd entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza tonight.
Make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 1E, citizen input. Segment where citizens have the opportunity to address the city council. Is there anyone here present who would like to address the council tonight? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the approval, item 2, the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Eugene. Second. Thank you, Corey. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. And then we shall move to our current business. And the first item on our agenda is the readministration of the oath of office for newly elected officials. And Becky, if you want to tell the council what we're doing and why.
After our administration last council meeting, county found that they had missed some verbiage on the oath, so we have to readminister the oath for the newly elected officials, which is the mayor, Gina, John, and Corey.
Okay.
So if I can have you guys come down, I would appreciate it.
Sean Logan.
Do solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Organic Act and laws.
Of the State of Washington. And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties.
Of the office of
City of Otavalo Mayor.
According to law, to the best of my abilities.
So now she did it twice.
Yeah. Keep it all official, right? Next on our agenda, item B, is our annual Mid-Columbia Library report, and we are joined tonight by the Mid-Columbia librarian, Corinne Fields. Corinne, you have the floor.
One thing that I haven't taken the time to do is to say thank you, because the city of Othello and Othello people in general has been so supportive of the library. I know that's not true in a lot of communities, so thank you very much. One of the biggest things that I'm concerned about is outreach, and we have an immigrant population, many of whom do not understand the library. Not all of them speak English, not all of them speak Spanish. Some speak Mixteco, Indian language. Near Guadalajara, there's 5 different versions of that language, and I don't speak that language, but I speak Spanish. And 3 staff members do too. What I find is that the heavy lifting for outreach is being done by the school district and several preschools like the Inspire Center and CBHA, Marisol Quesada, Cindy Hagen. Anyway, the CBHA has this wonderful outreach, and mainly we have a relationship, and they call me up and say, Corinne, you want to come over and do a program here? And say, okay. So for the month of November, I counted it up, and I put on 27 different presentations, which is almost, it's more than one, it's more than two a day. More than one a day. And I counted up how many people were involved. It was like 700 different, well, no. It was 700 and like 550 different people who were involved in this, whether they were students or teachers or parents going to conferences and things like that. And then last Thursday, one of our substitutes came in, and she was a longtime worker at another branch, which is south of here, but she doesn't live there. I won't say where it is. She lives in here, and she's now working as a substitute, and she said, Corinne, I can't believe how many people are Hispanic, and she's talking about the immigrant population are just coming and going and coming and going, and I'm just really, really impressed. So I had been hoping that if I go and visit children and tell stories to them and be silly and that kind of thing, that somehow it would trickle down or trickle up to their parents. And she said, yeah, you got parents coming in. It's not as much as I'd like, but so here are some pictures, and mainly it's children, and we're having fun for the most part. Can I go this one? Like that. So we have 14 public computers, which are used a lot, and we have Wi-Fi that people come in for. I think your PowerPoint is better than last year's. I'm really impressed it's working so well. Okay, we have a lot of e-books and books, audiobooks that you can download. Also, this RB Digital is for magazines that can be downloaded. I don't know if you can read that, but that says, snowmen do not like summer.
Why snowmen does not like summer.
Block parties are where we have a whole bunch of blocks and kids come in and we play. I visit 5 different preschools. That says, I love you. The The preschool teachers are some of the finest people in this town. They are doing amazing work with these children. It's going to be Dr. Seuss's birthday in a couple months. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. That's a red fish. So a lot of parents come in the evenings and are very tired. And so if their children can have a nice time like this, so my main goal is to help parents interact with their kids. And literacy and reading books and all that kind of stuff, that's important too. Sometimes we get there through artwork. Chicka chicka boom boom it. I love that little boy. Chicka Chicka Boom Boom is a really good book. CBHA, Columbia Basin Health Association, and the PAC was a parent advisory committee. Okay, last summer our theme was Build a Better World. So that's what I'm trying to give parents a chance to just be with their kids. That is the most amazing woman, that mother there. She does all sorts of stuff. That was supposed to be a Batman going down the strings there with Legos or Duplos for the little tiny ones. This woman is about 92 years old, and she's from the Tri-Cities, and she brought a couple of owls up, and she's just a hoot. Now, these prizes were donated by the Friends of the Mid-Columbia Libraries. And then an Xbox here and a couple games. Then these prizes were donated by the Friends of the Ocala Library. So they're local, and they run the book nook and take donations and sell them for not very much money. And then they came up with these three baskets. At our final swim party, which they also donated. And so here's some CBHA workers, their health fair in August. The bookmobile. These folks do amazing things. They work so hard, and they're just really great to work with. that says, "I give thanks." Ms. Amber Johnson has brought her choir in for the past several years. That's it. Thank you for your support. We're trying to reach people through the library, encourage literacy, encourage people to read with their children and interact with their kids. There's DVDs, but mainly we're trying to help parents and kids. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Corinne. Council, if you have any comments or questions you want to ask Corinne?
Just thank you for all you do and your hard work down there, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, the staff works very hard. I do most of the outreach work, but the staff is also working very, very hard.
Thank you. Moving along to item C, Adams County Fire District Number 5 Fire Protection Service Contract. We've been in the middle of that, and Wade.
Mayor, Council, good evening. As you are well aware, we've been working on a contract with the fire district to some mutual agreement on several things. Before you have the contract with the changes in red. As we go through this, I would ask that if you all have questions, obviously feel free to ask. A lot of these are administrative changes, but some of them are pretty important changes as you go through on page one. And I've got the fire chief is here also to help answer questions whenever you have those for him. So as we look through this to see what we want to do here, this is a discussion. We're not going to pass anything tonight, obviously. Kelly, I don't believe, has seen this yet, but I wanted to discussion first to make sure that you guys like what we saw, then we'll send it over to Kelly before it goes to council for you all for approval. So let's go through page one. You see there's some administrative changes there. Number four there on page one, as we look through this, we said, why don't we just make this an appendix and try and include all this in the contract. So it's an appendix A. If you look over appendix A, there's not a whole lot of changes in that until you get to the second page. And we sort of, not sort of, we did make it more clear who's responsible for what. And this is page two of appendix A. Who provides what, who's going to do what. So any questions on that? It's pretty clear. Okay. Moving on to page two of the contract. Up there on the screen. Again, some administrative changes here. As you go to number seven, it's more clear now who is responsible for what within the district and when. What they can do with the service limitations of the fire department. And so, as you see there, it says when the district city facilities equipment may be used for services within the district at the discretion of the chief, which made that clear what he can and can't authorize. But then outside the district of the mutual aid agreements, then either the mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, or the chairman of the council of fire committee must agree with the use of city equipment outside the district on mutual aid agreements. So, and Chief, if you want to jump in on this, you know, come here and jump in anything to add. Okay. Any questions that part of it? Okay. Let's move on to the next page. Move on to the next page, please. One of the things was to clearly outline what the police support would consist of. Police department cannot guarantee the amount of persons fitted and available for service or response time. However, it is the intent of the police department to provide service at a level consistent with community needs. So, Chief Shane, do you want to address that at all when we did that? I mean, it was pretty clear. We just want to make sure there was no, I think, right there.
What would be the circumstances that would warrant police involvement?
Yeah, I'll let the chief address that.
I mean, because when Sean's house was on fire, they had every road blocked off, and they were limiting access to, you know, the community so that people were protected and other things were, you know, you don't want people walking in amongst the firefighters and stuff like that.
Do you need immediate traffic control because people looking loose, you know, from standing on fire hoses, straight through cars from riding over fire hoses? I mean, the firefighters have to get into the fire and deal with that. We do all those traffic controls and community control until we get public works to actually block the roads. We're usually the first staff there. But as we were, that may not happen depending on like the magnitude of it. We have 5 or 6 houses and we're, you know, doing the evacuation. We may not be, just, we can't guarantee we're going to have 20 cops there and then be able to provide for it.
Well, there was quite a few. Even the county showed up for Sean's, you know. And there is a lot of off-duty police officers that live in the community. So, you know, whatever the need would be, we would respond. But we can't guarantee 100%.
Well, that's the bottom line. Can't guarantee that. So, moving back up to paragraph 10 there, I want to get that one out of the way first, because paragraph 10 is the one we need to probably delve into a bit. And that's the fees of the that we pay the district, and that's under Appendix B. And you see it goes up a bit each year through 2022, and based on the valuation of the Adams County Assessor, and a multiplication factor. For 2018, 2019, it's 0.60. In 2020, it goes up to 0.625 per thousand, and continues at 0.625 until 2022, and it goes up to 0.65, or 65 cents per thousand. Now, if you're wondering how much that is, what that looks like, Spencer put together a table to look at that.
I put something together really quickly this morning, just looking at the contract here. The contract you're looking for is that using the, for the first year, effective January 1, I'm using the city's 2017 property valuation, we do 60 cents per $1,000 of assessed value. And that's how each one of these, that's the formula that we use to calculate the range for each one of these years. If you look at this, see if I can be a little more clear. Just what does that mean to the city?
I think that's good, Mr.
Okay. So I grabbed our valuations, and that's in the 2018 column here. We have evaluations divided by 1,000, multiplied by the rate. This rate here is wrong, this is 0.65, it should be 0.625. But then we get our annual contract. And the first item up here is the 2017, this is the amount that we paid last year, $251,000. And then for this formula, we would pay approximately $60,000 more this next year than we in 2018 than we did in
17. Excuse me, we put that in the budget, right?
Yes, okay. Yeah, this is the number that we've been talking about in all of our communities, and we've gone forward with the budget with that number. There are a couple of assumptions that I make over here. I don't think that we need to talk about that tonight, really. The important piece is this column over here. You can see for this first year, it's about 60,000, then it's about 7 or 8, 20, 9,000, that it would increase.
And those are just estimates, keep that in mind.
So basically, within 4 years, we're going to be paying about $120,000 a year more than what we are now.
Yeah.
Now, there's a revenue side to that valuation of property too, right? That will go up as...
Sure.
So basically, that increased cost after the initial cost in 2018, the valuation of revenue will go up as well.
Yes, and so this is assuming a 2.5% growth in property valuations, which that seemed to be about the average of the last 5 years. Some years it was 0.5%, some years it was 5%, but the average was about that. And so that's one of the assumptions that I have built.
So our income's going to increase to offset those values anyway?
Somewhat, yes.
From the county?
Should. So questions on this piece? Again, this is the most impact to the city as far as monetarily wise.
So this agreement is a five-year agreement?
This agreement, 2022, yes, it is. Just making sure.
And so by agreeing to it, we're going to agree to that schedule?
That's correct.
Jay?
It's not a five-year agreement. It maxes out at that point in time. It stays at the 65 cents per thousand.
Whatever the valuation is,
yeah.
From there on forward.
So it's an ongoing contract. The only reason you have the ABCD here is that the valuation started at a lower and rises, and then once it gets to the 65 cents per thousand, it stays there.
Okay.
So it will be 65 cents per thousand until there's a need to renegotiate. So whatever your assessed value times the 65 cents per thousand.
Which is fair because it's relative to the assessed value evaluation.
Houses built.
And this was a ramp up to kind of get to that. Kind of number of 65 cents.
Right.
And this money will go for additional personnel and for the most part?
More service, fewer services, programs that are supposed to be ramped up and done to a higher level, as well as a trained officer and a firefighter, two full-time positions.
Okay.
Yeah, the district's picking up a portion of that as well.
Right, right.
Now, will we be able to... get a better rating with more people?
That's one of the purposes of this, right? To make sure our rating stays where it is or in the
quarter. We want to stay a 5. Although it probably will never be a 4 unless we have a full paid fire department.
How many would that take?
12 plus.
And you're at...
We would also have to rely on volunteer.
Yeah.
Staff.
And you're at what right now?
We have 3 firefighters full-time and our district secretary is a volunteer for us. So we have 4 staff.
4 staff right now. And this would allow you to put a 5th one on or a 6th?
A 6.
6. So you're only halfway there. But again... As the town grows and more valuation comes in for taxes, we can afford to pay more. Well, actually, you will get more based on what the value of the town is.
Based on valuation.
Yep. So it's all relative. It's a good concept, I think, in my opinion.
Okay. Any other questions on this piece before we move on? This is the biggest thing, but I still want to cover a couple of small items. Some of this other stuff, again, is more administrative than anything else. As far as maintaining equipment, some other things as we move on to the next page after that. There were some things with insurance. As I read through this, I was trying to recall why we did this piece, Jay or the Chief, on the insurance.
That was in the original contract.
Yeah.
In talking with our attorney, it was more or less... don't really need it in there, we're both required to have coverage. The limit of that amount is, it doesn't necessarily need to be stated in that because of what, how we currently do business, both sides currently do business. So that was just kind of, if you want it in there, there's no harm. Does it need to be in there? It does not.
We'll check with our attorney too, see what he says before we get this approved, but I was trying to, I couldn't remember the thinking went through. Thanks, Jay.
We haven't really had the attorney's involvement yet on why the land is there, or if we actually needed it, but
right.
That's what
ours recommended. On paragraph number 21, as you scroll down there, we'll see an addition there. And Chief or Jay, you want to talk about how that came about, the addition to that? I can't recall exactly what the thinking was. Just like I said with the police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Council, any questions on that?
Yeah, I guess the part in that sentence is the last one that's underlined. The duty is to provide emergency services under the provision of this agreement.
Yeah.
It is a duty owed to the public generally, and by entering into this agreement, the district does not incur a special duty to the city or its residents or visitors. And so obviously then, we're starting to delineate in that sentence what level of a duty is owed. It says it's a duty owed, but then it says, but it's not incurring a special duty. So what kind of duty? See, that's a legal statement there. And I think there is a special duty owed, unless I don't understand what a special duty is. And the reason is because we're entering into a contract. You're gonna send us what you got. You know, I mean, I understand that. Same with the police department. They're gonna send the personnel out that you have, and that you're gonna do your best effort to put out a fire, or the police department's gonna do its best effort to knock down crime. But when you start getting into legal language of it's a duty owed and then it doesn't incur a special duty, I'm not sure I completely understand that language, and I would like to know more. So that'll give our, like you said, Kelly is going to look at this, our city attorney, right? And that's something I think that the city, I mean, I don't know that you even need to say that. We understand what you mean.
My quandary right now, Sean, is I'm not real sure why that's in there.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember putting it in there because that's not my markout or strike in. And it doesn't have our attorney's comments next to it. And so I have to go back and look at the original one when we first started and see if I could kind of pinpoint where that came from.
Yeah, see, if you look at that, it's saying, it's trying to define what they owe as a general duty, but not a special duty. Well, I think we understand what a general duty is, but what's a special duty?
Well, see, this unless our attorney put that in there.
Yeah.
So let me know before I send this to our attorney.
I mean, you'd have to think of the scenario where that would play out if let's just say something caught on fire out at Bruce and the fire department was at Bruce, and at the same time a house caught on fire in the city of Othello. Now, they wouldn't be required to move into Othello because they have a contract with us to put the fire out in Othello when they're already on the scene fighting another fire at, you know, another place. So,
but they would do their best. I mean, I get.
They would try to accommodate the best they could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any question about that. I just, my question is about the language in the contract, and I'm not sure why that's there because I don't know.
There's a previous article regarding your comment, John. 7.1 that handles the ability to
handle two fires at once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I just want clarification. That's all I'm saying, because it's trying. I don't understand why they went to that degree, but whatever.
And that's why I have this discussion in the workshop, so we can bring those out. If you look on the next page, then again, some more cleanup items regarding meetings. And then the other thing on 23 was the city representative for all these notices requiring this agreement shall be the mayor. It just used to be the mayor. Or other city officer, we designated as a city administrator, me, just a minor, again, admin cleanup. So you go to the page, change the International Fire Code. That was something that said it needed to be done, because that's what we're on right now. And take out the whole harmless agreement. I'm trying to look at that, but I think that's probably okay.
It was somewhere else.
It was somewhere else.
Yeah, so your original level.
Yes. Thank you, Jim. Yep. And that, in a nutshell, is the contract.
Okay.
With the district. Questions, comments?
Yeah. Two questions. First one's really easy. Number 25, since it's only a 60-day intent for renegotiation, the 60 days, that's just notice that they want to or we want to renegotiate, or is that the negotiating term? That's basically just saying that somebody wants to renegotiate, right?
Right, 60 yeah. days. Yes.
The second question I got, is there anywhere in here that says how many full-time employees that they're going to have?
I don't believe it does. That doesn't mean it's something we can't add.
I think that needs to be in there. I mean, we've got, and I don't think, for adding two more full-time employees, I don't think the cost is out of line. I think that's pretty reasonable. But I think it needs to be in the contract saying that we're going to have a set amount of full-time employees.
Okay.
Do you want that in the contract or in the appendix? Under what the amount of the funding is? Because right now we're leaving it, like Corey's talking about, we're leaving the spending of the funds at the discretion of the department, the district, and if he wants some teeth, that it would provide one additional employee from our contribution, the district's going to match with the other one, and then, we do pick up any other the equipment costs that are not associated with normal budgetary.
So what are you guys saying is you want some language in the contract that spells out that the district will have at a minimum X amount of full-time employees. In this case, it sounds like six. Jay, I think you and I probably need to sit down and hash that out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's before, we're going to bring this to council for a vote. Well, proposed was next council meeting. We don't have to do that, but I'd like to. So. Next couple of days, Jay, if you could get with me, let's do that. So we'll do that before we send it to our lawyer. Anything else? Any other questions?
Do you have another one, Corey?
No, just kind of to kind of go on a little bit with that, and I think there should be a timeline. If we're going to start paying the new fee this month, I think there should be a timeline on when we're going to have the employees. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want to say, you can say we're going to have 6 full-time employees, but if we're paying this new fee now, I don't want to be waiting a year to get 2 more employees.
Okay, so not only say specify the number of employees, but specify date by this date they will hire.
That's my opinion.
I can't make that guarantee.
What's that?
But what I'm saying is, we're paying you. You want us to pay you for them now. When are we going to get them?
Right, and so with the normal thing you would do as a course of business is you would say, okay, let's say we give you a March 1 date and you can't meet it. So then what we would do is at that point it would then become a pro rata figure for this year. So let's say you get your firefighter in April, okay, and you fill those 2 positions, then we would just give you April through the rest of the year if it ends up taking you that long to fill those 2 positions. That's what he's saying, and that's how you would normally go about it if, you know, you're entering into a contract with someone. I mean, it is a valid point, but it does then also protect the city with regard to just the increase, not the rest of what we owe you. That's all it would impact.
Does that make sense, Jay? Understand? Another thing we need to put in there? Okay.
Well, you guys, your board's going to have to prove it, so... Well, it just we're negotiating right now.
But I don't think that we should be going down that path because what we're doing with this contract and with the setup that we have for the payment to the district, it's based on the valuation of the property values of the city. You know, and so that valuation is the criteria for which we are going to establish the amount that we're going to pay to them, okay?
Which is true.
So they've got to have time to be able to, you know, either hire somebody from outside or look at people within that they could, you know, hire on as full-time people and get that established. But because we're not giving them the money per se right now today out of our budget to do that. But that's what the long-term effects of this increase are going to allow them to do.
Well, I think it just goes back more to what you were saying about this contract is a assessed valuation contract.
Yeah.
That's how it's funded. So is that... Trump, what Corey says and what I mentioned, and what's the way the council wants to do it.
One, let me interject right here. One of the things that I believe said, Chief, was this money is also for upgrades to equipment. Is that correct, or am I? Did I miss it, Mr. Yeah?
Yes, the plan is no longer the plan is to upgrade programs and maintain our equipment at a more current rate.
And this money will help do that, is that correct?
It will. Once we take a few steps.
But we still pay for our own equipment upgrades, correct? We still pay for our own equipment upgrades.
No, we pay for breakdowns, things that occur.
Right. Any upgrades to our equipment.
The tires are going bad or whatever. We got to, you know, that's what we pay for. There's a clause in there about additional costs. For city equipment.
I don't think he said it was for equipment upgrades. It's for program upgrades.
Program and equipment. What the city has paid for in the past is apparatus, trucks, vehicles. We've never come to you with a repair of over $1,000. We don't come for tires. We don't do that. We never have.
Hose replacements and stuff like that.
No.
None of that's. No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
They don't come.
They don't come.
Yeah, I thought we were paying for all that. No.
Yes.
And we need a new ladder truck. They're gonna be knocking on the door.
Right. Okay.
So a lot. And correct me if I'm wrong, please. This step up is not 100% for staffing. For that one person, is that correct, or is it for just that one?
Well, this year little over 50,000.
Yes, 157.
What's an employee cost? You all know you can't hire an employee for that.
Yeah.
So this year will be, that money will be, if you will, dedicated to that employee.
Right.
That's not to say that, we're going to shortchange it.
Right.
But okay. Once we get to that 62.5, 65, we'll be sitting a little bit better. Yes, we plan on updating some programs. Staffing is going to help that.
And training and so forth. Correct. That's what I was getting towards, was the training and stuff that you need to get this person up to full staff or even getting them hired.
So what I hear you say, Chief, I think, is that if you did hire an employee, but not till March, it would still take that amount of money to bring them up to speed, train them, everything, regardless, and more. Is that what I hear you saying?
Equipment gear for them alone is, we're looking at somewhere over $5,000.
Yeah, so. So do we still want to specify or try and prorate it? I mean, it sounds like he's going to need all
that. No, I think it makes more sense to have something in there on their intent to provide X number of full-time employees, but trying to prorate a contract that's
was a suggestion
based on the evaluation. I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Anybody else? Okay. While I'm at it, make sure the fire department submits to the Chamber of Commerce annual, civil service employee of the year. The Chamber has an award at their annual banquet for the civil servant of the year. And right now that's EMS, police department, and the fire department. And so we encourage you to submit an application because there's many worthy and deserving.
Okay, any other questions on this? Okay, we'll put this together. I don't know if we'll be able to do it by next Monday, but hopefully before January's over, we'll get this stuff in front of you that you can put on.
Good.
Yeah. Well, in spite of all the, the back and forth and the details, I do want to thank the fire department, not only personally, but on behalf of the council. The city is growing. You guys recognize it. You're trying to keep up. It costs money. We see that. You need more employees. You need more. Just need more. And the city is doing its best to try and keep up with that, and we want to thank you and appreciate your forward-looking in that process. I know the change sometimes isn't easy, and you guys are experiencing change in your own department, level of commitment, getting new people on board, then going through all the training, going through all the the things it takes to be able to put a guy out there or a woman out there on the street to fight a fire. And so we recognize you have a difficult task, and we don't want to make it any more difficult up here around this dais. So you need to know that you have our support. Okay. Yep. All right, moving on. We have item 3D is the election of our new mayor pro tem. There are some issues or some rules. And this is the process. The mayor will call for nominations. All nominations need a second or they die for lack of a second. After all nominations are received, the mayor will call for a vote. If there's not a majority on the vote, the number of nominations are reduced by either runoff between the top two or elimination of the individual receiving the least number of votes. The nominations must include a term which is set by the council and should be included in the motion to appoint. This term is discretionary by council vote. So let's say, for example, John wants to nominate Larry McCourty. He would not, he would say, I'd like to nominate Larry McCourty for a one-year term. Or I would like to nominate Gina Doro for a six-month term. However you guys want to do it, I'm going to now open the floor for nominations.
I'd like to make a nomination to John Lawless for a one-year term.
Okay, so we have a nomination on the floor. Do I hear a second? We have a second. Is there any other nominations for the floor?
I'd like to nominate Gina again for a one-year term.
We have a nomination for Gina for a one-year term. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
So we have a nomination that we have two nominations now. Is there a third nomination? Okay, hearing none. What I would prefer you do is when I call for the names, when you, I'd like you to signify by saying aye, but I also want you to raise your hand so that Becky can record the count, because Becky's our scorekeeper. So we'll start with the first nominee, John Lawless. All those in favor of John Lawless for the one-year term as Mayor Pro Tem, signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Three. And then
three.
The next nominee is Gina Doro. And all those in favor of Gina Doro, signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay. All right.
You get to break the tie.
So I think what I'm going to do is table it and let the council member break the tie rather than myself. And he'll be back on Monday. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I think we're going to have to table this until next Monday. But anyway, it's interesting. I think either one, I mean, Gina's done a really good job. And Ken Johnson was the first 2 years that I was here, and he did a good job. And I think John would do a good job, too. So I think, though, in respect to both of you, I think I really need to let our other, our tiebreaker of the council member make that decision, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
I make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to review our committee list. Everybody has a list in front of them. And so what I would like to do is go down these pages and we will... you don't have a list?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I want to share my list.
It's on the board.
I got it on there. Okay. I did receive a letter from, I'm going to go out of order. I did receive a letter from the Adams County Commissioners that Corey Everett's term is expiring, and they want to know if there was going to be any changes to, this is his term on the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, and they want to know if there's any changes, and also we need to write a letter to Patty Phillips letting them know that the council is, or who our representative would be on that committee, and because actually it's appointed by the Board of County Commissioners, not us, but we just elect our representative, and then they're the body, it's their committee. And so, Corey, I'm going to ask you, do you want to continue?
I will, unless somebody else wants it.
See a bunch of shaking heads. So Corey, you're back on. So I'm in the right hand column. I am going to write Becky on all these. Becky will contact Board of County Commissioners, okay, or Patty Phillips. So now let's go to the Fire District Biannual Council, City, and District Committee. They meet twice a year, June and October, and currently we have Mark Snyder, Eugene Bain, John Lawless, of course our Fire Chief, Gary Liebachen is the representative for them, but I just need to know, Let me back up before I get into all the details. Okay, some of you guys have been on some of these committees for some time. It's a new year. If you want to be on a new committee, now's your chance to stay. You want to get, if you're on too many committees and you want to kind of back off, fine. I know Larry McCourty would like to get on some committees. He has the time and would like to do that. Eugene is out of town during his work day. Mark is out of town a lot, on it, but not always. And so sometimes it's difficult to come to these meetings and attend if they're regular. The ones that aren't that regular, I don't think that's as big an issue. So if there's some that you've been on and you're ready for a change, just now tonight's the night to begin to say that. If you still want to continue on, just indicate your preference. So
should we table this till next week since Angel Garza is not here?
One of the main reasons I thought about that, one of the main reasons I didn't do that is because there's a national championship football game that our city administrator likes to watch. You know, he will. And this can take 20 minutes to half an hour. So I wanted to get started on it, okay? But that doesn't mean if you want to table it, I'll entertain a motion to table. And then you guys can talk amongst yourselves or you can think about it some more. But we won't go past Monday. We do have to move forward. So do you want to table it? Because we can discuss it.
We're all on the committees now. We're all going to attend the committees if they're
at least for a week.
If they're here. So, you know,
I'm going to table it until next Monday.
Okay.
A second. That way we can all look at this
yeah.
and decide what. There is one thing, the Adams County Development Council, I'm on that. So you can add my name to that. Ken Johnson is no longer on it.
Yeah, John, I think you're an at-large member.
Hmm?
I think you're an at-large member from LaSalle. Okay. We'll have to look at it and see, so I don't think there's...
But anyway, Ken Johnson's no longer on the
correct.
Committee.
But he's the Hatton representative.
No longer,
no,
yet.
They don't have one. I'd like to see this updated. I mean, you got guys that have been dead for years still on it.
Who's that?
Well, you got Neil Wright, you got...
I think he's still alive.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. He's on shaky ground. Let's
yeah.
Jim Dietrich, I don't know where he's at.
He's there every meeting.
Huh? Is he really? I'll be darned, right? Well, that's good. I just looked through there, and a lot of these people.
I don't think they live in the film anymore, but uh-huh. I think he still comes to the meetings.
That's good. I hope he's not getting paid for it.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded to table this till next week. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Becky, I will work with you on some of these. If there's any obvious ones, Council, would you please let Becky know? Is there any committee reports, item 5 tonight, item 4? No? Any unfinished business tonight? Any new business?
As far as unfinished business, when are we going to get together? We created a committee for underground utilities. When are we going to have a committee meeting and discuss what we're going to do with that ordinance for utilities?
Add in all that.
Yep.
Wiring.
We'll get that set up.
Yeah. Okay. And what the committee...
Because the rumor is that we're going to do something about the ordinance.
We are.
So it would be nice to have a committee meeting with regard to that ordinance and what we're going to be doing so that at least some of council members were aware of it. And I think that's Gina, me, and Corey.
Yep. Okay. Staff will get that set up and contact you guys. Any other unfinished business? But thank you for the update, because yes, we do need to take care of that, and we promise to take care of that. Any new business to come before the council? All right, hearing none. I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:31 p.m.